White House reporters ritualistically complain that every Oval Office occupant cloaks his presidency in secrecy. But some administrations manage information manipulation better than others. Bill Clinton's White House was known as a place with so many leaks, a raincoat was needed indoors. Richard Nixon was known for his obsession with secrecy, occasionally to the point of paranoia. Reporters covering the White House of George W. Bush claim that the current administration is more preoccupied with controlling information than any of its predecessors. John Dean is familiar with White House secrecy. In 1973, Dean revealed the deepest secrets of the Nixon White House, sending the president into a spiral toward his resignation. In his new book, Worse Than Watergate, Dean examines how the Bush administration keeps its secrets. I spoke with John Dean yesterday afternoon before the release of the pre-9/11 presidential daily briefing, and he said the signs of a furtive White House were there from the earliest days of the Bush administration.
The indicia of it are everything from the refusal to hold press conferences, the inability of the Washington Press Corps to get access like they've never had the problem before, the projection of images that are constantly being updated with the latest image-making technique, where the image becomes more important than the substance, to uses of executive privilege like we've never had before, executive orders trying to repeal open government legislation, the excessive classification of documents. As I say, in following the modern presidencies, since I have been really closely looking at them, I've never seen such secrecy. And as a student of the presidency, who's been reading about presidents for 40 years, I can't find anything that's comparable in history.
You devote a large portion of the book looking at how the White House has managed the flow of information regarding the investigations of September 11th, and you seem to think they are doing themselves as well as the country a disservice. In what way?
They really are. And this isn't, to me, a left-right issue. It's not a Republican-Democrat issue. I draw on as many Republicans who are critical of the secrecy of this presidency as I do Democrats. It's a good government issue to me. The 9/11 factors, no question that they have used and exploited that. After 9/11, the administration certainly knew there was going to be an investigation. What happened is, as soon as the standing committees in the Congress started making noise that they were going to start investigating 9/11, Dick Cheney went to the Hill and convinced the leadership that they would not have the standing committees to do it, rather they would use a joint inquiry. That's very shrewd on Cheney's part. Cheney had been part of a joint investigation of Iran-Contra. He knew how ineffective joint inquiries are. As John McCain later said, they were slow-walked and stonewalled. And in reaction to that, we have the commission, because the families, quite properly, were outraged at how ineffective that investigation was. The White House wouldn't cooperate in providing information. When information was surfaced that the White House didn't like, they classified it in the report and wouldn't let the Congress release it, the information relating to the Saudis. So the families insisted on a commission. Again, it has been a process of slow walking and stonewalling. Only when it gets down to that it's politically unbearable for this president to continue to resist to give information when called upon, does he yield up and give information. Condoleezza Rice is a perfect example. The pressure was so great to have her appear that, indeed, he was forced politically. He realized the consequences were greater to not have her appear than to have her appear. So they cracked the deal where she would appear 2.5 hours. They actually obviously went over that, did about 3 hours. You know, as a former witness, I could do that standing on my head. I mean, that's just not very tough, particularly when you know the limits on the time. And Condoleezza Rice was well briefed about it. She knew exactly what she was doing. She filibustered her questions. And I kept thinking, what was going through my mind is, had she been in court testifying that way, she would have been held in contempt because no judge would let her give those sort of dissertations and non-responsive answers. That's the difference, really the distinction between a true fact-finding body, either a civil or criminal proceeding where you're trying to find facts and present them to the jury, as opposed to a congressional committee or this commission, which is a quasi-congressional body.
What do you make of the fact that both the vice president and the president will be meeting jointly before the commission?
I think it's probably a good example of the way this presidency works in its secrecy. We have a president who is very good as head of state. He cuts a nice figure. He's a handsome man, looks good in nicely tailored clothes, likes to meet with potentates, loves the apparatus of the presidency. He's also a wonderful politician. He is good with people. He can portray an image that is not necessarily the way he really is in the office, but he's everybody's friend. And this has made him a very popular sort of younger Reagan-esque kind of figure. Dick Cheney, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite. He doesn't like to kiss babies. He doesn't like the pomp of the office. Dick Cheney is a very good backroom operator, has been for decades, and Bush has given him the authority to do what is of most interest to him, and Cheney dives into these things. We have a situation where Bush is head of state and Cheney is head of government. I see a co-presidency.
So the idea that they're appearing together, I mean, this was their idea, but are you suggesting that perhaps they need to appear together?
I think they have to. I'm not sure that George Bush could. Well, a perfect example, when Tim Russert interviewed Bush one-on-one in the Oval Office, I mean, it was a remarkable interview. It showed that Bush could. He was obviously had practiced his little script. He kept going over and over. It was shallow. It was incomplete. It was frighteningly unsophisticated for a president of the United States. Bush and Cheney in private, I think it's symbolic. It's a showcase of the entire presidency, if you will. Why not just go in and wing it as best you can, one-on-one, and not risk the consequences of everybody knows in this town what is going on here. But this now lets everybody in the nation know what's going on.
John Dean was counsel to the president under Richard Nixon. His new book, Worse Than Watergate, is published by Little Brown and Company. Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
To hear my complete conversation with John Dean, visit our website, npr.org.